Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. If you could benefit from more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Blue Chew is prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor's office or wait in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. And best of all, there's no more awkwardness. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when using our special promo code MENACE. Just pay $5 shipping and that's it. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code MENACE to try it free. BlueChew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. You really have nothing to lose. It's free. Might as well try it out. So hit them up. Check them out. BlueChew.com. Promo code MENACE. It is Tuesday, March 31st, the end of the initial quarantine month. Hope everyone's hanging in there. I'm going to tell you what, I know you all are feeling it too, but this is crazy. Just insanity. I mean, what's going on with the country? What's going on with, just feel awful for people that are getting sick. This thing sounds nasty. But I got into it with a couple, not got into it, but people were critical of me on Twitter because I retweeted some tweets about how the media has blown this out of proportion. They're using fear tactics to panic the public. And I want to just put this out there and make it clear. I am not downplaying the severity of this COVID-19, the coronavirus, the Wuhan virus, whatever's not racist. That's what I'm going to call it. Whatever that is, COVID-19. I'm not trying to downplay the severity of it. My simple question and what my stance has always been is why now? Why this disease? Why now? That's the only thing that doesn't make sense to me. When you look at the statistics, this is very dangerous. It's very real. We should be doing what we're doing. We should be quarantining. We should be, social distancing. We should be self-isolating. We should be doing those things. I agree with everything that's going on. My only question is, why now? There's been other pandemic diseases that have hit through H1N1, bird flus, all these pandemics. And for some reason, we didn't do shit about them. And now, because the media said so, we're going to do something with the coronavirus. I don't get it. I just don't understand. I'm not near smart enough to understand the economic impact and what that will mean for lives and deaths in the future. So I'm not even going to comment on the basically economic shutdown. I don't know. I don't have an opinion, really. I do think that this is very dangerous. It's very real. And I agree with quarantining XYZ, yada, yada. What I don't agree with is the media dictating that we do it. And that's what happened. The media put pressure on politicians and people freaked out. And so they had to act. And that's just the reality of it, because there have been several diseases in the last 20 years that are as bad or worse than this disease. So I had to get that rant out. But I want everyone to know my stance on it. I think this is very serious. I don't think this is some created, made-up disease or that they're blowing it out of proportion. I just want to know why now. Why this disease? Really excited about today's show. We're going to talk, going to kind of update you on the topic that when we had Greg Fry on last week to talk about ocular dominance. It's something that I've been working on for about a month. Not just that topic Greg and I have been working on, and I think it's phenomenal. And I'm going to update you. Had some big time conference calls with some very, very important and brilliant people that I want to share with you, and also talk about kind of a new door that I'm opening and starting to explore, because I think it's going to be awesome. And it's been a passion of mine for 15 years. It's why I coach, one of the big reasons I coach football. So excited to have that conversation just about the coaching PhD is what I call it. Just that next level conversation about coaching athletes, not just football players, not just receivers, but athletes in general. So excited about that. Also going to talk a little bit about the Twitter, scenario we put out there, because I think it's great. It's fun conversation while we're all stuck inside, just, you know, bored out of our minds, going stir crazy. My question that I posed, and I'm going to have another question later in the show, I might tweet it out right when I put this show out, is if your favorite team, you get one quarterback, you're five wide empty to win the game, who are your five wide and who's your quarterback? I'm going to give you mine, talk about some of the feedback on Twitter. Enough about preview, but let's get to the show.
That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage.
Or do you do what everybody else in the media does, just create some shit and throw it on the wall and see what sticks, which is what I see happening everywhere.
Where are we at in society today? I'm a man. I'm 40.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my ass.
Welcome to episode 92 of Menace to Sports. I am Zach Smith, your host. Really excited to have another conversation. First, I want to say I appreciate all the listeners for a number of reasons. One, I appreciate you guys embracing this show, this platform, what I have to say in general, and the feedback on social media has been awesome. But here's another reason I appreciate it. You guys are very loyal. And I put out a show that I'm passionate about. Didn't know how it would be received. Didn't know how much you guys would like it. It's coaching PhD. I'm going to talk about ocular dominance. And in my mind, I'm like, that might be over people's heads, not because you're not intelligent enough, but just that's a very, very, very in-depth detail about coaching football. I didn't know if you guys would like it. First of all, the feedback was ridiculous. So I'm definitely going to trend in that direction in future episodes. That's why I'm doing it again in this episode. But I also appreciate it because I was contacted by several sports optometrists, several people in that field that the podcast, that show got passed to them. They listened to it and they reached out. And so I've spent the last week and a half on conference calls and having educational conversations with some of the best in the sports optometry industry. And I have really refined my knowledge on the topic, and it's made me realize how much I want to research athlete development. And so I've been in the process of creating an athlete development platform. Braxton Miller and I talked about it. I have a huge plans for it. He wants to be heavily involved. I think because he knows how much I helped him as a receiver in a short, 3 months, what I was able to teach him and get him to functionally do. I know he has a lot of respect for it. So anyways, not to give testimony on myself, but I'm really interested in it. So I've started, if it's on Twitter right now, there's no website yet. I have a shell website up for it, but Zone 6 Training, it's going to be kicking off here in the next couple weeks. I've got all my training tools ordered. I've got everything I need to start training athletes, mainly for research, not mainly. Here's why I want to do it. For research purposes, I want to be able to collect data and study the craft of receiver play, of corner play, of running back play. I want to study it like a coach doesn't have time to do. And Ryan Day told me one time when he left college football and went to the NFL, I was like, why'd you do it? Why'd you make that jump? Like, he's a college football coach. He's brilliant. He could coach in the NFL, but I know how much he loves interacting with kids as opposed to the business aspect of the NFL. I said, why did you do it? He said, you know why? I wanted to take 4 years, no recruiting, no nothing, and just study. Spend all the time in the day studying quarterback play. And I was like, damn, that's awesome. I never got to do that as a coach. You're too busy. You could study it here and there, but to really dive in and study the craft and come up with a new perspective. Everything coaches do right now is learned from someone. My question is, how do you advance and enhance if you do that, right? And so that's why I'm diving into this side of the sports world. I want to get into the science behind the skill of each position. And I want to improve coaching, improve teaching. I want to get it out there from all levels. So Greg Fry and I have a huge study going on with ocular dominance. And I pair that with for receiver play, right? Receiving a football. Receiving a football is really about two things, right? One is your eyes, your oculars, right? How it's locating the football with distractions and arms in the air, and how well you find and track a football, and then how disciplined you are with your pupil focus, right? So that's the whole conversation about how your eyes go into eye-hand coordination. The other part of it is manual dominance. What that means is, and I've talked about it before, is and I've talked about it on deep balls, and I'm gonna go even further with it. It's critical to know which hand a receiver is most comfortable with on a deep ball, right? I talked about it because one of the hands stops the ball. And that your confidence is, let's say it's at a 100 with your right hand, it's at a 60 with your left hand. So now the drill work that I've done over the last 5 years is all about increasing the confidence in your non-dominant hand, right? Your manual dominance, increasing that confidence so that when you're on the left, you don't drop zero, you don't go 0 for 10 like Chris Olave did, right? You develop that left hand to stop the ball. The other part of it, obviously, is eyes, your dominant eye. So that's just one part of the manual dominance. The other part of it is if you're running a crossing route. So I have three different catches that are in my mind that I break it down. One is what I call a head-on collision. You run a curl, you run a stop, a hitch, something, and your chest is coming back towards the quarterback, where now you can frame the ball with that perfect diamond in front of the front of your body. That's one catch. Right. The next catch is what I call perpendicular intersection. That is, you're running a dig route, a slant route, anything where you're moving from one sideline towards the other and the ball comes. Now you have to figure out which hand is on top. That's also very important because receivers have a comfort level with one of their hands on top and the other on the bottom. And you have to train the other setup scenario. So if you are a right hand on top is most comfortable, right? Or right, then you have to train when your left hand's on top and you have to increase your confidence in that hand position, right? So that's the one that I haven't really, those two I haven't talked about much. And the last one is what I call a parallel intersection, meaning you and the quarterback are facing the same way. And when he throws the ball, you're going to have to either track it or high point it. Those are your two options like a deep ball, go route, sometimes a post, a corner, those routes going away from the quarterback. So those are the three catch angles that I break down when I go through it. So anyways, that's what I'm studying right now. Manual dominance, ocular dominance, and I'm also I'm studying a lot of things, but I'm going to develop this into a whole platform. I've even opened a Patreon subscription level for it's Zone 6 training. Forget all the podcast episodes, early episodes. Those are still there, but this is going to be specifically for this conversation. We're going to have, you know, clinics. We're going to have tip sheets, conversations, videos, Zooms, e-clinics, whatever you want to call it. We're going to do all kinds of stuff because I want to explore this side of it with people that are passionate about it. So if you'd like to be a part, sign up. It's going to help fund the research that we're going to do. So it's almost like a GoFundMe for improving coaching. So check out patreon.com/menacetosports. Check out the Zone 6 tier. I've already put up my first article. Never been read before. It's exclusive to you for now, at least. And we're going to really expand in that side of this menace to sports because it's a side that I'm very passionate about. But back to what happened. So we end up getting on the phone. Two different big time. I've had four conversations in the last week and a half about ocular dominance. And two of them were with people that I was blown away by. One is a sports optometrist that has worked with several pro athletes, pro teams, and he was phenomenal at teaching me and Greg Fry about ocular dominance on a deeper level from a medical perspective. And it was awesome. We're going to continue conversations with him, and I'll go into more detail on that later. But the other conversation we had was with a guy named Jack Marucci. I want you to look him up. Just Google him, and if you're part of the Zone 6 Patreon whatever level, you can listen to it or you can read about who he is and what he does. But Jack Marucci, he's the head athletic trainer at LSU. It was supposed to be an hour conference call or an hour, whatever you want to call it. And it lasted 2.5 hours. This guy is ridiculous. I mean, brilliant. He is talking about every different position, every different sport. And here's how brilliant this guy is. So his son is a great baseball player. Daughter's a softball player, real big baseball guy, right? He talks to a number of Major League Baseball players right now. He threw out some names like, I mean, Adrian Beltran, Albert Pujols, like some of these names. And I'm like, holy shit. Like he's like, I talked to Pete Rose last week. And he's always working the sports science world, right? And so this is probably 18 years ago. He decides that the baseball bats that the baseball players are using are kind of just not the best. So what does he do? He goes out back and starts in the woodshed and starts making his own wooden baseball bats. For those of you that have kids, that play travel baseball. If you're not familiar with Marucci bats, let me tell you, I just bought a $400-some bat for my son and his travel team. And every kid on every travel team has these Marucci bats. So this guy, that he's in charge of sports performance at LSU, you know, the national champions. He created a bat company that he just sold a couple weeks ago for millions of dollars. Marucci bats. Look it up. It's unbelievable. But anyways, this guy is crazy impressive. So there is even an article about it. At LSU, they have these glasses that they put on the receivers. This is last spring and summer leading up to the national championship year. And all they're doing is studying. These glasses are crazy. So they have a camera on the front that shows the field, then two cameras on the inside of the glasses that shoot right at the pupils. And these glasses, they can show the data, they can show like graphs, and they can show the live footage of the pupils, like when they dilate, when they don't, when they shrink, exactly where the pupils are pointed the whole time that they're running a route or as the ball approaches. It was the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen. All about ocular dominance, pupil dilation, pupil focus. It was crazy. So the biggest thing that I took away from it was at the stage they're at, in their opinion, ocular dominance and how your vision works when it comes to receiving a football is really critical for athlete selection, right? And what I mean by that is you study, if you just put together the data of every player on every route from every side of the field, you'll find trends. Like Paris Campbell's really good at corner routes when he's breaking to his left. And so his point is, you can spend the time to game plan to make sure the right player is running the right route. So they use this ocular dominance just for identification, really. There's not a lot of data on can you train it and improve it. And that's where I'm going with this. I want to know if I can. I know I can improve it. I know you can improve it because it's not just ocular. It's not just your eyes. It has to do with hand confidence, manual dominance. And that's what I'm going to explore through this Zone 6 platform. And I'm really excited about it. So it was wild. I mean, you're sitting there, Jamar, I can't remember all the receivers that they had. You actually couldn't tell which receivers they were because they were only their eyes. But they have all their receivers. This guy could tell you Joe Burrow. Was he right eye dominant, left eye dominant? He could tell you everything about him. Was he most comfortable throwing to his left, throwing to his right? He knew everything about every player. And then he blew my mind because he says that Ed Orgeron is in love with it. He says, looked at him and said, you made me a better coach today. Because they studied their D linemen. What eye dominant was each D lineman? Because if I'm left eye dominant and I line up on the right side of the center, I'm going to see the ball better out of my peripheral to get off the ball and pass rush. And if I'm right eye dominant and I line up on the left, vice versa, right? The better vision you have on what you're trying to do, the more successful you'll be. Simple as that. It blew me away. Just changed my world. And it also told me LSU is light years ahead of every other program in sports science because of this guy. He is, I mean, unbelievable, ridiculous. So I had to share that with you. I wanted to talk about it just for a brief minute and kind of tell you where we're trending and where I'm headed with my athlete development. And the project I have going on with Greg Fry is going to be awesome, the Ocular Dominance Project. Really excited about it. So wanted to share that with you. Wanted to tell you about Zone 6. Check it out on Twitter's at Zone 6 Training. The website will be up in the next week or two. It's on Patreon, like I mentioned, if you're interested in checking out what all we're planning to do there. So we'll be right back after a break from one of our sponsors and talk about some quarantine teams, I'm calling them, a quarantine team. If you had one quarterback, five wide, to win the game from your favorite team, who is it? I'm going to give you mine for the Buckeyes, 2000 and on. You give me yours on social media, and I got another one for you, too. Be right back after this. With the free agency period done and no live sports on TV, there is an increasing excitement around this year's NFL draft. The NFL draft is all about new beginnings, and our sponsors at Manscaped are here to give your balls a new beginning. I'm talking about ball trimmers. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped is the only men's brand dedicated to below-the-waist grooming and hygiene. There's nothing better than finding a diamond in the rough in the fifth round. The Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0 will help you find that in yourself. When you trim the hedges, the tree stands taller. I've had a number of people message me about the product, and all I can tell you is try it. Just give it a try, because there are several people that have hit me up on social media and told me how much of a difference maker it is. No more nicks, no more cuts. They're able to manscape clean and safe. The Perfect Package 3.0 kit comes with the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0 waterproof cordless body trimmer and a ton of other liquid formulations to round out your manscaping routine. This third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to prevent manscaping accidents. Millions of balls are about to be nick-free thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin-safe technology. And of course, let's not forget about the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits, right? So why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? Subscribers get a new replacement blade refill for your lawnmower trimmer delivered to your door every 3 months, making sure your trimmer always stays fresh and clean. For a limited time, subscribers get not one, but two free gifts. The Shed Travel Bag, a $39 value, and the patented high-performance anti-chafing Manscaped Boxer Briefs. This is the perfect package for your franchise quarterback. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code MENACE at manscaped.com. Do yourself a favor and always use the right tools for the job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code MENACE at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code MENACE. Manscaped is the best when it comes to men's grooming. Get yourself the Joe Burrow of trimmers, the Lawnmower 3.0. All right, welcome back. Thank you for taking the time to check out our sponsors. Obviously, Blue Chew and Manscaped are two that have been on a number of episodes. And we had a number of other ad spots lined up, but unfortunately, with sports getting canceled, they're all on hold until we are back on the field or back on the court. So excited for that to happen. So I want to talk about our quarantine team, right? The 2020 quarantine team. So here was my challenge on Twitter. If you didn't see it, our show's whatever account put it out. It was your favorite team. I didn't dictate whether it was NFL or college or high school for that matter. Your favorite team. It's whatever, 4th and 7 to win the game from the 20-yard line going in. You're going to be an empty 5 wide. You have to tell me since 2000. Who is your all-quarantine team, right? Who are you putting on the field? When you roll that team out there, who are your 5 wide and who is your quarterback? So the response was unbelievable, and here's what it did. It made me realize, you look at it and you're like, holy shit. Like some of the LSU and Alabama and Ohio State teams, you're like, whoa. Like Alabama's, some of the fans out from Alabama's teams were outrageous. Obviously, Tua was the savior at quarterback. Before Tua, they didn't really have a great quarterback, a great NFL quarterback for that matter. And don't get me started on some of the ones that you will claim, Bama fans. But anyways, I wanted to give my Buckeye team, and this is going to definitely rustle some feathers, rattle some cages. But first of all, I'm going to start with quarterback. And most people either have recency bias and choose Justin Fields, choose Dwayne Haskins because he could really throw. And very few people, a couple did, chose my quarterback that I chose. And the quarterback I chose for the all-quarantine team is Braxton Miller. And I think people forget how freaking dominant this kid was because he was a better runner than Fields, a better runner than JT. He was one of the most dynamic runners in college football, whether he was a quarterback or not. He was elite, dynamic, electric, but he's what people forget. And I don't think people really realize because he was still so raw and developing was his ability to throw the football was freakish. He had crazy arm strength, crazy accuracy. His release was insanely fast. And I say this all the time. You keep Braxton Miller healthy and or you give him a Ryan Day-esque, Lincoln Riley, a quarterback coach that really could coach the position fundamentally, Braxton Miller would have been Lamar Jackson before Lamar Jackson. That's how good he was. And here's the other part of it. He's really, really smart. I don't know if people realize that. He's really smart. He could process and handle the quarterback position. So Braxton Miller is the quarterback for me, and I don't know that it's even close. People talk Troy Smith. I love Troy Smith. He was a great player. He was not as good a runner as Braxton, and Braxton could throw with anybody. So I'm taking Braxton Miller as my quarterback. I really am because, and you know, the other reason, I love athletic quarterbacks that can throw. Because on third and seven from the 15, if nothing's open, he's going to keep it alive. He's going to find someone. And if he needs to, he's going to go win the game with some crazy play they're going to talk about for 25, 30, 40 years. So I'm taking Braxton Miller at quarterback. My receiver core is loaded. People are going to disagree with a couple of these, but I'm going to explain why when I get to, towards the end of the list. My number one is Michael Thomas, best receiver I've ever coached, best receiver in the NFL. People could knock him because of maybe a somewhat lack of production in college, but you can save it. He was in an offense that didn't feature receivers with, I mean, insane NFL talent and running back, a quarterback that we ran the shit out of the ball. So you could take stats and stick them up your ass. Michael Thomas has to be on the field. In the last, really in Ohio State history, he has to be on the field. But certainly since 2000. Michael Thomas, then I'm taking Santonio Holmes. Now you're getting obviously a guy that had success in the NFL, a blazer that could run. I need a little Florida swag in my group because I didn't have any without him. So I had to get a guy from the muck. And if you don't know what the muck is, then you don't know Florida. I had to get Santonio. He was smooth as shit, explosive, ball skills. I mean, you name it. Plus, he's a great dude. I got to know Santonio after he got done playing and came back and finished his degree. He's a really good dude that you can tell loves is just, I mean, I need him on the field. Moral story, I need him on the field. The third guy, I had to get a guy that was like a doctor of receiver play, and that was Anthony Gonzalez. I went back and forth between Hartline and Gonzalez here. I could have taken either. I took Gonzalez for no reason other than he had a little bit, I guess, better performance in college, slightly. Not a knock on Hartline. Don't tell him I said that. But I'm taking Gonzo. Very reliable hands. A guy that's going to make a play, come down with the ball. He also could run really well, and he was wicked smart. Wicked smart. My fourth one that I don't know if anyone else had, maybe one other person, but I got to put him on there. It's Mr. Reliable, KJ Hill. He's a guy that's not fast enough, you know, not explosive enough. People say, you would say that, but he has the uncanny ability to control his body. His body efficiency is insane, and his quick twitch is insane. He's just not a blazer long distance, which I don't care. I don't need that out of a receiver. I've got Santonio for that and my fifth guy, and Gonzalez could run too, and Mike's not slow. So I'm taking KJ Hill. Ball skills, outstanding. He's going to give me what I need out of my fourth wideout. All-time leading reception getter in Ohio State history, I believe, is right, in a career. So I'm taking KJ Hill. So I got Mike Thomas, Santonio Holmes, Anthony Gonzalez, KJ Hill, Braxton's throwing my fifth receiver. And you could save it on the NFL first round pick. Everyone wants to talk about first round pick. I want to talk about first round performance. Michael Thomas wasn't a first round pick. He'll wipe the floor with almost any first round receiver Ohio State's had. So I'm not talking about draft positioning. I'm talking about actual value. And I'm taking Terry McLaurin at number 5. Insanely smart, insanely good kid, going to block after the catch. If the ball goes to another receiver, he's going to help that kid get in the end zone. And on top of that, dynamic, deep ball threat. And just so we're clear, you talk about ocular dominance, hand dominance. I talked to him and Paris Campbell after those conference calls. He has made himself a great player down the field. I need that on the field. He has to be on the field for me because he was a kid that Urban Meyer didn't want to offer him because his ball skills were not great. And he trained and worked so hard at everything that I was teaching, every drill I threw at him. He went from below average ball skills to a reliable deep threat. I got to have him on the field. Plus he's insanely fast, insanely smart. He's got to be on the field for me. So that's my five. I'm trotting Braxton Miller, the best athlete to play quarterback at Ohio State ever. And I'm going to line up Michael Thomas, Santonio Holmes, Anthony Gonzalez, KJ Hill, and Terry McLaurin. So hit me up on Twitter if you disagree, why you disagree. And don't just talk shit. Tell me who you would replace with who and why. Because people are just picking best players. I'm picking a cohesive unit. I need a bigger receiver, reliable hands, one-on-one nightmare, Mike Thomas. I need a really fast, smooth route runner that could be a deep threat but also run intermediate routes, Santonio Holmes. I need a reliable, really intelligent, almost Wes Welker-ish, Anthony Gonzalez. I need a reliable guy in the slot that has ridiculous ball skills, KJ Hill. Now I need a guy that's going to be smart as shit, block well, take the top off. Oh, and by the way, be an all-rookie team receiver, Terry McLaurin. That's my five that I put on the field. So build your unit. Don't just pick the five that you think are best. Like people put Curtis Samuel on there. I love Curtis to death. He didn't have the ball skills of some of these other guys. And I love him, but I don't know that he's going to come down with that play. I'm not putting him on the field. I'll tell you another guy that I would Paris I would have put on there in my bullpen, and Noah Brown would be another one I'd put on there. So I'm not trying to knock Michael Jenkins or some of the older receivers. Obviously, I don't know them as well, but I don't care. I'm going with those five. So hit me up on Twitter if you agree, disagree. Give me your feedback. But here's my next challenge for you, right? And I'm going to put it out on Twitter right after I put this show out for Patreon subscribers. It is now the other side, all right? It's third and seven, last play, fourth and seven, right? Last play of the game. It's the Penn State when Joey Bosa drove the running back into the quarterback, right? It is the last play of the game. It's fourth and seven. You know they're going to throw the ball. Here's the caveat. You are able to put together a D-line rush package that is so dominant, you're not going to blitz. So don't tell me you're going to send six or five or you need to get an extra guy. No, no, no. You get four pass rushers, and you're going to twist them. You're going to get matchups. You're going to try to get them home on the quarterback, right? You're trying to end the game with four so that you can play coverage. It's what we did in 2016 all the time. Really, in 2015, 16, really the whole time Larry Johnson's been at Ohio State. I want to know what four defensive linemen or pass rush specialists for your team, not just, you know, whoever your favorite team is, who are your four pass rushers you're trotting on the field? Mine was the first three are no-brainers for Ohio State. You look 2000 until now, the first three are absolute no-brainers. Joey Bosa, Nick Bosa, Chase Young. Two of the best defensive ends in the NFL, who is going to be the number two overall pick and probably the most impactful football player in the country in this past football season. So those were my first three. Already probably getting a sack. Those three are outrageous. Then I got to the fourth spot. And who are you going to pick for the fourth spot? Now I'm trying to create a group, right? I mean, you have three big defensive ends. I mean, all different in their own ways. Joey's a little taller, a little thicker than Nick. Nick's a little smaller, a little quicker. Chase Young's kind of a hybrid of both of them. Probably a little more quick twitch than either of them, but not quite as powerful as either. So now I'm thinking, all right, who do I want to get? And I'm going to tell you I'm going to go through who I didn't pick. My first thought was Ryan Shazier. Not entirely fair. Don't want to cheat the game. He's a linebacker, though he probably would be in there to pass rush on third down to win the game. I discarded him because he's technically a linebacker. So Ryan Shazier, definitely a good pick. My another one I went to was maybe an older guy that I didn't know as well, like a Cam Hayward, but he's not exactly a dynamic pass rusher. He's just a great defensive lineman that can pass rush. But I wouldn't say he's been one of the most four dominant, one of the top four pass rushers in Ohio State history since 2000. So, and I looked at a number of other guys like Draymond Jones, who I think is a phenomenal interior D lineman. I mean, what is he, a second, third round pick? I don't even remember, but he was a phenomenal pass rusher. It'd be hard to not put him in there. But the guy I went with is Johnny Simon, Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. But here's why I took him. John Simon was not a freak of nature as far as explosion, as far as power. And not that he didn't have those things. He's not like some Rudy Rudiger who try hard and did well. This is a guy that had ability, but his greatest trait, the thing he was best at, was being relentless. And if you have a young athlete, or not even young, any athlete, Listen to that. This was a big time, still playing in the NFL. His greatest trait. Why was he a great pass rusher? Everyone would say, because he's relentless. We even brought it up on the show with a couple of the guests. Who would you not want to fight? A number of them said John Simon. Why? Because he was relentless. He would never stop. There's no way I wouldn't. If I have both Bosas, Chase Young, and then you give me John Simon, that is going to relentlessly go after the quarterback, it's game over. John Simon's relentlessness was his greatest trait. So that's the four I went with. I challenge you, who are your four that you would right now put on your D-line to go after the quarterback? Tweet them out. I'm going to put it out on Twitter here in a minute once the show's over. I'm curious to see not only Ohio State fans, but everyone's, because here's the next step of this. I'm going through and I'm reading most of them. I'm trying to read all of them, but the results have been astounding. And next episode, I want to talk about the best since 2000 in each of these categories across the board. Like, who's better, Ohio State's all quarantine team or Alabama's all quarantine team on offense? And then we'll get into some run game. We'll get into all that. But just really curious to see your input. Those are mine. That's my all pass rush, all quarantine pass rush team, and my all empty offense for Ohio State football. I might have to do Florida in my time, or maybe since 2000. I just don't know the history and what's really, I don't know what's gone on since I left as well. But I'll look into it and put together my team. But I love the feedback. I love seeing what you guys are doing. Hope everyone's staying in there, hanging in there, staying in there. A little bit shorter episode, but I wanted to put it out. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Please check us out on Patreon. Our new website will be up in the next week. And we're going to also check out our Zone 6 training at Zone 6 Training on Twitter. I think it's on Instagram, but that hasn't been set up yet, but I think we have the name to it, and then a website coming soon. So check it out. Check out our new Patreon subscription level, and also our locked up episodes coming out today for Patreon subscribers. So check it out. Appreciate you tuning in. Appreciate you listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you were entertained. And as always, if you weren't, if you didn't, if you don't like what the fuck I say, go fuck yourself, San Diego.
That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage.
Or do you do what everybody else in media does, just create some shit and throw it on the wall and see what sticks, which is what I see happening everywhere.
Where are we at in society today? I'm a man. I'm 40.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my